They don't taste bad. They don't taste good. They taste like something. Podcasting hour. My name is Darian. I am back for another week of horror nonsense. I got your news. I got your listener mail. We got some movies to talk about. Another shit coming right at your ear holes. My main man, Buddy's in the house.
Hey, what's going on?
What's happening, buddy? Buddy.
You know. Guess what?
What?
I have 2 weeks left of work, and I'm changing jobs.
Nice.
Yeah.
You might actually get some days off.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe?
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, no, I hope so.
Probably weekends. I might get those back.
Weekends off, dude.
Yeah.
Nice. It's about time.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. Are you excited?
Yes and no. So I am going to miss, you know, the whole traveling and task force stuff.
Right.
And the drive is going to suck.
Yeah. You're going to be working out in Fernley.
Yeah.
Ferntucky.
Yeah, but on that, on to new adventures, I guess.
Yeah, buddy. Bittersweet, man.
It is bittersweet.
It's bittersweet.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like you did your time, and now it's time to do the crime.
Yeah.
I don't know where I was going with that.
I don't know.
That didn't make a lot of sense. I don't know. Right on, man. I'm happy for you.
Yeah, thanks.
Better money, I assume?
We'll see.
Okay. Well, I think really just like dialing you back a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because
you've been hitting it hard.
Right, yeah, I don't see myself doing a whole lot of crazy hours anymore.
I would hope not.
Yeah, my hours are going to change. Normally it's 6 to 4:30, you know, that kind of thing,
yeah,
which extends out to even later. But this time it's 8 to 4:30. It's going to start off slow. It's a brand new facility. There will be some peak seasons that are going to hit, but nothing like what I usually go through.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Congratulations, dude.
Yeah, thanks. How about you? What have you been up to?
I've been up to flag football, and that's about it, man. That's about it.
Yeah.
I got a big weekend lined up. I'm going to surprise my wife with a few things.
Oh.
I can't say because there's a good chance she's listening to us through the door right now.
Right.
And or going to download this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to button my mouth.
Does it have anything to do with holes?
I hope so. I hope so. If I play my cards right, there will be some spelunking involved.
That's right.
If you understand what I'm telling you.
All right. Well, hopefully everything works out for you.
Hopefully it does. Right on, dude. I'll drop some knowledge on you next week after the big reveal.
Beautiful.
Let's get into a regular horror show, though, buddy. We got listener mail, horror news, all that fun shit. Let's kick it off with a little horror news, amigo.
Yeah.
Horror news.
What do you got, Sassafras?
So there's a movie that came out that I had no idea came out, and I don't know if it's maybe just certain areas or not, but it's Dev Patel's Monkey Man. Do you know anything about this?
Very little. I saw trailers for it. It looked to me more like a superhero thing.
Okay. Yeah, I know nothing about it, but apparently it is now available to watch at home.
All right.
So it pulled in $28 million at the worldwide box office this month.
Okay.
And it's you can rent Monkey Man for $19.99 or digitally purchase the film for $24.99.
I'm not going to rent a movie for $20.
No.
I'm just not going to do that.
Yeah.
It
seems awfully outrageous. I'm like, it made $28 million. That's not really a whole lot.
And for that, if it's an extra $6, why don't you just buy it?
Right.
You know? I don't know.
Maybe that's what they're trying to do, push you to buy it.
It could be.
Well, Dan Stevens and Al Pacino are starring in an exorcism horror movie, The Ritual.
Okay.
I'm a big Dan Stevens fan.
I like some Dan Stevens. Mm-hmm. He does good work.
Yeah, of course, Al Pacino. I mean, you can't go wrong with him.
The Ritual. Okay, so the only problem I have with that, and it's not really a problem, I feel like we're getting hit pretty hard with the exorcism stuff right now.
Mm-hmm.
The Pope's Exorcist, that piece of shit exorcist movie, Believer.
Yeah, the Pope one, I think they were trying to make a part two or something.
They were trying to make a trilogy.
A trilogy.
I feel like we're getting steam. We got this new Omen prequel coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're getting steamrolled with a lot of devil exorcism situations.
Yeah. So apparently this exorcism movie is based on a true story that follows two priests, one questioning his faith, Dan Stevens, and one reckoning with the troubled past, Al Pacino, who must put aside their differences to save a possessed young woman through a difficult and dangerous series of exorcisms. The film is an authentic portrayal of Emma Schmidt, an American woman whose demonic possessions culminated in harrowing exorcism. Her case remains the most thoroughly documented exorcism in American history.
Isn't every exorcism movie based on a true story?
Right. It's probably all based on the same one.
Probably. Great. One guy got possessed once.
Right.
Fuck. All right. I'll make 3,000 movies.
Yeah.
It could be. I mean, it's Al Pacino. He does good work, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be a good show.
Yeah. We all like horror movies that have universes like all connected to each other, right?
We do.
So, have you seen Ready or Not?
I have.
I have not seen that movie.
It's a good show. You should check it out. Yeah.
And, of course, the new Abigail that's in the theaters right now, they take place in the same universe.
They do, buddy.
Yeah.
They do. Did you read how they are connected?
Well, there's pictures in there.
Right.
And then there are also the claiming of Abigail's dad.
Without giving anything away.
Yeah.
I know who he's supposed to be.
Right.
Yeah. So there's that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I won't read any more of that one.
Okay.
But yes, so they are trying to do a whole universe with this scenario. Okay. And I'm wondering if they're going to add more to this.
I mean, knowing what I know about Abigail and having seen Ready or Not, they are two completely different
movies.
Subgenres.
Right.
Even. They don't even... There's other than the background aesthetics, there's nothing that would tie those two together.
Right.
So, it's cool. I'm into it.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I like it when it all kind of fucking, you know, Easter eggs itself in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I got. What do you got?
Dude. Are you ready for a new Sleepy Hollow movie?
A nude?
No, maybe. There might be some nudity.
Oh, new!
A new one, man. Oh. Might be a new nude one. I don't know. I don't know which way we're going with this.
Yeah.
New Sleepy Hollow movie in the works from Lindsay Anderson Beer.
Okay.
Have you gotten around to Pet Sematary Bloodlines?
Oh, yeah.
What'd you think of that?
It was all right.
I liked it. I thought it was a good show. That she wrote and directed that.
Okay, cool.
So I'm into this. I love me some Bloodlines. We'll see how this goes. There's an online petition circulating trying to get Cinemark theaters to produce an Art the Clown popcorn bucket.
Oh, I'm in it.
Yeah?
Yeah, if they come out with that, I'll get it.
You're going to go get one?
Oh, yeah.
I don't need enough popcorn.
Oh, and I do.
Like, I saw the Ghostface popcorn bucket. It was like the size of a cereal bowl. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
That's not really a bucket. That's not a bucket. It's a fucking bowl.
Okay, I guess I would have to see the size of this bucket. Because you're right. If it's like a size of a cereal bowl, no, I'm not
interested. Well, now we have the Jason Harrells out there that are just sick for fucking popcorn buckets. Mad collectors, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure there's going to be a market for this thing.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm totally down with the popcorn. I love popcorn. So, like, Galaxy Theaters, they got the 5-gallon, like, the big bag.
Yeah,
I get those almost every time. So, nice. We always have popcorn.
All right. Very good. Prime Video has already ordered a Fallout Season 2. Have you watched any of the Fallout show?
No.
Prime?
No.
Did you ever play the video game?
No, I've seen, like, clips of the video game. I don't know. Not my thing.
I tried playing the video game. It's a lot of reading.
Oh.
It's like one of those, you know, every choice you make takes you in a different, it's like a role playing game.
Oh, okay.
And it's fine, but you got to be ready to like just sit
and
read.
Yeah, I would rather just play and not read.
That's my jam. Yeah. I want to like, you know, let a fully automatic machine gun go into a mob of zombies.
Yeah, otherwise it's like an advertisement.
Oh, fuck.
Here, let me play. Oh, no.
Read
oh.
all of this fucking dialogue.
Right.
Oh, that's your first choice. Your second choice is all of this fucking dialogue.
Yeah, usually what I do is I just hit that skip button where it just goes through it just to get it out of the way and play.
No,
yeah.
you can't do that with this.
Oh, damn.
But I heard the show's pretty good.
Hmm.
Lastly, trailers are up for M. Night Shyamalan's new movie, Trap.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this.
Did you watch the trailer?
No, did not watch the trailer. I usually don't like to watch his trailers. I just like to watch the movies.
Well, I'm assuming there's a twist,
mm-hmm.
but I can... There's a MacGuffin, because he's basically handing you the twist in the trailer.
A McLovin?
MacGuffin.
Oh.
Or maybe a McLovin. I don't know. Or maybe a McMuffin. So basically, it's like there's like a Taylor Swift concert, and there's like thousands of people. They didn't call her Taylor Swift.
Oh, okay.
But like thousands of people showed up to see this concert,
mm-hmm.
and the authorities get the tip off that this infamous serial killer is also at this concert.
Oh.
So they seal all the doors and exits, and all hell breaks loose from there.
Interesting.
Yeah. But you can tell the main character right off the bat is the serial killer.
Oh, so they're not hiding nothing.
No, they pretty much put that right in your face in the trailer. So,
and then the twist is he's not the killer.
Maybe it's the Lady Gaga girl.
The singer.
It could be. I don't know. You never know.
I'm gonna sing your ears off.
It looks like a good show.
Okay, cool.
I'm gonna check it.
Yeah.
I'll probably wait for streaming because I'm just not a Shyamalan guy anymore. That's all we got in the listener mail, dude. You ready for some horror news?
That was backwards.
Fucking yeah. Yeah, it was. Listener mail, then. Let's do that.
Yes.
Son of a bitch. Don't confuse me, buddy. It's been a long day.
Listener mail.
Mm-hmm. No emails this time, but we do have a voicemail here.
All right.
Here comes our main man in Alabama. Alan's in the house.
Hey, Alan.
Padded room. What's up?
What's up, Alan?
Everybody's doing good. It's nice to hear Buddy back.
He's back.
Thank you.
Let's see. I watched Late Night with the Devil. Mm. I really, really enjoyed it.
Mm.
I liked how it almost had had a feeling of unease throughout the whole movie.
Oh, yeah.
I watched this thing they did on YouTube, like a opening for it. That was cool.
Huh, okay.
Let's see. Meat Hook, Zombie Killers.
Yeah.
Number one, I'm going Tallahassee.
Of course.
Number two, I'm going Cherry Darling.
Oh, okay.
And number three, I'm going to go with Peter from Dawn of the Dead.
Okay.
Hmm.
And Mr. Darien, you are
Come on.
Cannibal Holocaust.
Yes, sir.
That's all I got.
That was an easy one.
Y'all have a good one. Talk to y'all later. Oh, I've got a job interview I'm headed to right now.
Oh,
wow.
So I hope I get it. I will talk to y'all later.
Good Bye. Luck, amigo.
Good luck, sir.
Let's get it.
Yeah.
Right on, man. Thanks for calling in, Alan. Looks like that's all we got on the listener mail front, buddy.
Okay.
Yeah, dude. We'll get into a little bit more of Late Night with the Devil,
mm-hmm.
but not too much, because I don't want to give too much away about it. But mm-hmm. we'll get to that, and what are you looking at?
All right.
Other than that, I think it's showtime, hot dog.
Yeah.
You're making it worse. Stop. Nick, stop. Can we, wedge a piece of wood underneath it?
What do you see a piece of wood anyway? Look around.
Jimmy, can you hear me? It's Nick. Can you hear me, man?
Ah!
Buddy, let me regale you with a story that my dad used to tell me.
Hmm.
I love my dad, but he was a bit of a prick. But at the same time, it kind of worked out because I'm a bit of a prick. And he had a huge love of all things horror.
Oh, yeah.
So he told me, I don't know why he would tell me this, but I was probably 7 or 8 years old. And he used to tell me the story about the time he was driving to see my aunt in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And his car broke down halfway between Tonopah and Vegas. And he was just kind of stranded in the desert. And he saw one zombie walking around. And the zombie started walking towards him, but it was real slow. So my dad just took off on foot. And then the zombie got farther and farther away. And eventually my dad hitchhiked into Vegas and he was fine. But he always wondered about the one zombie. And he always worried that if that zombie made its way into Vegas, that the apocalypse would happen.
Oh, wow.
Why the fuck would you tell a 7 or 8 year old kid that? Especially, dude.
For shits and giggles.
Just to traumatize.
Yeah.
To do future damage. He's like, I'm gonna make my son into an underachieving horror podcaster. I'm going to start telling him scary shit.
I feel like that's a story in the making.
You don't say. You don't say.
Right?
It stains the sands red, buddy, from 2016. Got 5.5 stars on IMDb.
Yeah.
Written and directed by Colin Minahan. Stars Brittany Allen, Juan Reidinger, and Merwin Mondesir. This movie is not presently rated. We start off in Las Vegas with what appears to be the onset of the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
We just get a giant sweeping shot of the Vegas Strip with, like, fucking flames and people screaming. And we get basically see that the shit has hit the fan there in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
What they need is a team of commandos to get in there and get into a subterranean vault called the Einstiegsgraben. I forget what the fuck was the name of the vault.
It was
something in German.
Yeah.
The Golden Schleiger. It's just something
like that.
Some nonsense. unfortunately, that's not where this story is going. We pick up with a couple of D-bags escaping Vegas in a Porsche. We have Nick and we have Molly. And these are not good people.
Mm-mm.
These are fuck faces.
Yeah, they are.
They're doing coke and slamming vodka, and they're on their way to a remote airstrip somewhere outside of Vegas in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, they have a plane waiting for them there that they're going to board and be away from. I think they were talking about going to Mexico or some island somewhere.
Something like that, yeah. Just far away.
Far away. Very exciting. As I mentioned, this couple is a couple of fuck faces. Nick is a thug. And I'm not saying that because he's black. I'm saying it because he's wearing a wife beater.
Mm-hmm.
And he's all tatted up and he's smoking cigarettes. He's a thug. And he keeps calling Molly a bitch. Shut up, bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Thug-like behavior.
Yeah.
Molly is a hua.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say it, but that's I'm not basing that on her leopard print leggings or her fucking fur coat or whatever that imitation thing was.
Right.
But, I mean, come on. That's basically, and they're doing coke and slamming vodka while they're going. They have to pull over because Molly has had too much vodka, so she's got to vomit. And despite the apocalypse, Nick is still concerned about the interior of his Porsche. So they pull over off a desert road so she can vomit. Okay, throw up, very nice. They try to call their friend with the airplane, but of course they're in the middle of the desert and they get no service. And that's about the time they notice one random zombie. One zombie in the Vegas desert walking towards them up the desert road.
Now you know what happened to the zombie.
Yeah, apparently. Glad my dad got away from him.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh shit, a zombie. Because Nick is a thug, he's got a Glock in the glove compartment, so he gets out and starts shooting at the zombie.
Terrible shot he is.
He hits him, to be fair, but it's all center mass, and that's not how you kill a zombie, buddy. You gotta destroy the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. If Nick wasn't so high on coke and blasted on vodka, he might know that. But to be fair, I don't think Nick was all that hard. He was pretty shook by the sight of the zombie. And
yeah, that's
true. He only had like 3 bullets in his gun.
Mm-hmm.
So he quickly unloads the gun and now they're fucked because the zombie's still coming at him.
Yeah.
So they hop into the Porsche and that's where they stay.
Yep.
And this is when you see the hands on the clock spin around as the zombie is still monkey pawing the windows.
It was so funny.
Oh, yeah. And the sun goes down, and it's now nighttime. And
think he's going to break the glass?
No. Unfortunately, when they broke for the car the first time, Nick's phone fell out of his pocket. So now they don't have a phone. They can't call their buddy with the airplane and tell him to wait. And they're kind of fucked. And now they're already starting to fall apart. Mm-hmm. They're yelling at each other and stuff like that. Night falls. They fall asleep for a few minutes. When they wake up, the zombie is gone. So they're like, oh, okay, I think we're okay. Let's get out and find that phone. So they hop out and they start, you know, running around the car trying to find the phone in the headlights. Molly finds it. Yay. Hey, I found your phone. And Nick's like, oh, okay, great. You got any service? That's when the zombie pops up and kills Nick and eats him. Now, problem number one that I have with this movie. You get killed by a zombie. Mathematically, you are supposed to become a zombie.
Right.
Not 100% the case in this particular film. Not sure why. We do get a snapshot of zombie Nick, but not until the end of the movie.
Right.
So maybe it takes, like, I don't know, 48 hours for it to go, or I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And then later on, well, this comes into play later, but there's another situation where somebody else gets bit and they have to amputate a body part immediately to save themselves from becoming a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what we're doing with the zombie mythos here and why it's all fucked up, but whatever. Whatever, dude. I'm not here to nitpick.
Right.
All right. Fantastical. Okay, but Molly is fucked because now she doesn't have her boyfriend. She is actually pretty sensible about this because while the one lone zombie out in the middle of the desert is eating her boyfriend, she hops in the car, grabs a bottle of vodka, the rest of the cocaine, three or four bottles of water, Nick's phone, and she takes off on foot.
Mm-hmm.
She uses the GPS app on her phone to find the airstrip and find out where she is and which direction she needs to go, and takes off on foot from there. Not the best plan. I don't know that I would go that route. Since the zombie is distracted, this is the perfect opportunity to kill the zombie.
Right.
You can pick up a rock and get the job done.
Yeah.
And there's going to be several more opportunities just like this throughout this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I didn't like the movie. I'm just saying there's some holes here.
Yeah, big holes.
There's some manholes. Some manhole-sized holes. Some big man...
holes.
Manholes. All right. Whatever, dude. She's a ditzy hua, so I imagine she's not, exactly tactfully minded. Anyway, she goes running off into the desert. Great. She walks all night. The zombie is now following her.
Mm-hmm.
But he's so far away that it's not that big of a deal. She keeps walking and walking and doing more coke and drinking more vodka. Now the sun has come up and she's walking and walking and drinking more coke and snorting more coke, drinking more vodka. I should probably cut back on the coke.
Yeah.
I snort a lot of Coca-Cola.
Yeah, put that away right now.
Yeah. But then I drink my cocaine. So
yeah.
I got this covered, man.
That's right.
Nightfall. At some point during the following day, this is wildly unnecessary, and I don't know why we needed to go there. We realize that Molly is on her period.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
Okay.
What the shit is that? Let's feel down there and show everybody.
Oh, that's blood. Okay. Well, good news. She has a tampon, which she can insert. Good for her. And the zombie is at a safe distance, and it's a slow-moving zombie, but he is persistent.
Yeah.
He's not giving up. Mm-hmm. He's just going to follow her pretty much forever. So night falls again, and she kind of finds this neat little, probably about 6.5 foot tall cliff that she gets on, mm-hmm. and she builds herself a fire, and the zombie, I guess, can't figure out. It's not like a real cliff. It's like a little outcrop thing.
Yeah.
And if the zombie just went off to either side of where she was, it could have easily walked up and around her and then eaten her. But instead, it just kind of stays right with her on the edge of the cliff. So she's kind of safe for a minute. She can build a fire and kind of stretch out, I guess. And this is about the time that the flashbacks start happening. We get a little, I guess, little snippets into Molly's past. At one point, she had a baby. So we know that about her.
Right.
We're going to learn more as the movie goes on. Next day comes around. She gets up and gets moving. The zombie's again following her. She realizes that the zombie is smelling her period blood. So she takes the tampon out and wings it. And then the zombie goes in the other direction and she goes walking off. But then, of course, as soon as the zombie is done eating the disgusting tampon, he's right back on her tail.
So gross.
I know. I know. Have some dignity there, zombie.
Mm-hmm.
More cocaine, more vodka. Now Molly's feeling pretty brave, and she's now yelling at the zombie. She's telling him what a small dick he has, and he must have been a used car salesman. And I feel like it's pretty cathartic for Molly because she's – I feel like there's probably some kind of a subtext here about her being victimized by men, and this zombie is now following her around like a puppy dog, so mm-hmm. she's going to, you know –
unleash everything.
Yeah,
on.
You know, let fly on the zombie. Yeah. Tell him what his problem is. Okay, this kind of goes on for a little while.
Oh yeah, it does.
Eventually, she thinks she loses the zombie. She's now named it. She calls him Smalls.
Smalls
for
yeah.
small peepee. She finds like an abandoned trailer in the desert, so she goes in there thinking she can relax and hide for a second. Smalls gets in there with her. We get a little cat and mouse game. She's got to like hunker down in a bathtub, and there's a scorpion crawling all over her, mm-hmm. so she's got to keep her cool. And then she runs out of there, and then Smalls realizes that she ran out, so he starts walking off after her again. Very nice. Keeps going. She goes to do another hit of cocaine at one point, and Smalls kind of like attacks her. Doesn't bite her, but does knock all the cocaine out of her hands, so she's pretty pissed about that. And then back off we go into the desert. Every night she gets lucky enough to find one of these little 9-foot cliffs.
Right.
Because she finds every she manages to set up a campfire
mm-hmm.
On one of these cliffs.
And very convenient.
Yeah, and distract him to a point where he's like stuck on the edge of the cliff and he can't move.
Mm-hmm.
All right, whatever, dude. Now we get more flashbacks. We find that Molly was at one point married, I think. And that's where the baby came from, and she was kind of a good mom for a little while, and then we snap right back into the reality of the desert.
Mm-hmm.
Up we go. We're off and running again. Walk, walk, walk through the desert. She's like, she started off, I think, at like 17 miles away from the airstrip,
mm-hmm.
and she's checking the phone periodically. She's getting closer, but she's not exactly hauling ass, so really 17 miles... If you're not coked up and you're not in high heels, you could easily make in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And not running, just at a leisurely pace.
Right.
It's going to take her about 3 days. So there's that. All right, fair. I guess we just needed that to kind of stretch the story out a little bit. Because off we go back into the desert. Walk more yelling and screaming at Smalls and him just kind of lumbering on with her there. she gets to a point where there's like sand dunes, so here comes a big dust storm. Now we're here in Nevada, mm-hmm. buddy, me and you.
Yep.
And I don't know about you, but I've been to Vegas on plenty of occasions. Mm-hmm. It's fine. I always have fun. Yeah. I you know,
mm-hmm.
it's a lot more fun when you're in your 20s.
Yes.
These days it's like I'll go down there, I'll see a show, I'll come right back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not fucking around. But I have never in my life. Been down there or anywhere near there and seen a dust storm. Have you?
No.
They love doing that in movies.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas dust storms.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I just go in the off season or something. Is
yeah.
there a dust storm season?
No. And it's more like sandblast season.
Yeah. It's like a fucking tornado.
Yeah.
It's what it is. Whatever. So that's what's happening. She gets caught in this big sandstorm thing. And I don't know. And she can't see where she's going. And you can see the zombie kind of, you know, flapping around behind her. Eventually, the storm subsides, and she's like half buried in sand. And she wakes up just in time to see a truck driving by.
Yeah.
So she's like, oh, help. Help me. Oh, help me. The truck pulls up, and these two dudes pop out.
Hmm.
One of them is wearing a baseball hat that says swag on it.
Swag, yeah.
Very, very... The director made sure that we all saw the hat.
Oh, yeah.
And that's going to come into play here in a second. It's these two guys, they seem like, you know, country guys. They get out, hey, you need help? And she's like, yeah, yeah. They get her a couple of bottles of water, and they get her in the truck and turn the AC on. She's like, oh, I left my bag. I got to get to my bag. There's an airstrip, and I got to get over to the airstrip. And they're like, okay, great. Yeah, we'll take you over there. Maybe there's, I've flown once or twice. Maybe I can get on the plane. Once she's in the truck by herself, though, she's like looking around at things inside the truck. She sees a picture of a African-American family, and the kid is wearing a swag baseball hat.
Mm-hmm.
And then she starts snooping some more and sees Department of Corrections uniforms in the back.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, oh, shit. They come running back. Hey, we found your bag. Let's go to that airstrip. And she's like, you know, I think I'll just walk. And they're like, oh no, you'll die of heat stroke out here. Let us take you to your airstrip. And she's like, oh, the guy probably left anyway. Well, you guys take care. I'm going to get on out of here. And then that's when they're like, oh, shit, she knows.
Mm-hmm.
Where they are escaped convicts, and they proceed to attempt to rape, put a raping on her.
I think they did.
I think the one
the one dude, yeah.
The one guy did achieve penetration.
Yeah.
The other guy was just kind of offering encouragement,
yeah,
which is kind of a shitty thing to do. All right, let's get a raping.
Yeah.
So he starts raping her, and then that's when Smalls pops out of the sand and eats the rapist guy.
Yeah, that was a little far-fetched because Smalls was quite a distance away.
Yeah.
And so he's slowly walking up on the dude. It's like, come on, you're the other guy staring in that direction. You don't see that zombie walking that way?
Yeah, no. No, apparently not. So that the rapist gets eaten, the henchman jumps back in the truck and hauls ass.
Yeah,
which I probably would too. But apparently the family that they stole the truck from was going camping because a bunch of camping supplies fly out of the back.
Mm-hmm.
You got a rubber raft, you got some water, and yeah, it was about it really, like some rope, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, oh, well, fuck me. Now I'm back in the desert. And I still got this goddamn zombie here. Right. And fuck. All right. So now she checks her GPS and looks. And she's still got about 8 or 9 miles to get to the airstrip there. So off she goes on foot again. Smalls right behind her. Again, our rapist did not reanimate. So he's not a zombie. They start walking again. Everything's cool. They're getting closer. We get another. She has to make another campfire at another 9-foot cliff that night. And this time she has another flashback. And this time, instead of being the happy mom with the baby, she's a very lackluster stripper. Like the stripping. Like I've seen plenty of strippers, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
She was putting zero effort into that pole.
Right.
She was just kind of. I don't know if she was meant to look awkward up there, like she's not accustomed to stripping or something mm-hmm. like that, but she just kind of got up there and like tiptoed around, and then a bunch of thugs came in and she was like winking at them, and then that was about it.
Yeah.
She wakes up, oh shit. So she, at some point, something happened and she went from being happy mom to stripper to bring us to this point of her being coked out and mm-hmm. walking through the desert with a zombie. Yep. So that sucks for her. And as she's going this time, she's like building this bond with Smalls. She's like telling him all of her problems and stuff like that. Yeah. All right. I guess everybody's got to talk to something, right?
Yeah.
She blows up the inflatable raft and puts all the supplies in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then she finds a tire. So she puts the tire around Smalls.
That was a good idea.
That was a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very, Michonne
mm-hmm.
from The Walking Dead.
Yes.
Like something she'd do. And now Smalls is carrying her supplies for her. So that's good. They get pretty close to the, airstrip and, they see a bunch like an army convoy pull out. Which begs the question, where exactly did that army convoy come from? Clearly not the airstrip, because that's populated
Vegas,
by
probably.
Drug dealers. Okay, I'll buy that.
Yeah.
But the army guys spot her and Smalls walking on the road. So she's like, oh, God, they're going to kill Smalls. She, like, at this point, she's kind of got him half-ass trained. Like, if she says stay, he'll stay.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of dumb.
Mm-hmm.
So she makes him stay like in a ditch, and then she goes out there to talk to the army guys, and she's like, oh, I'm just going to the airstrip.
My husband's
waiting for me. I'm not that far, but if you, I don't know. And they're like, come on, we'll give you a ride. And she's like, no, I'll make it. You guys just go. And then, unfortunately, Smalls pops out behind her and starts trying to eat the army guys. And they want to shoot him, but she jumps in front of him and saves his undead life. She's like, don't shoot him, don't shoot him. Why not? And not to mention the myriad of times that she's had the opportunity to pick up a rock and smash his head in.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's just there for emotional support at this point.
I think so. I mean, definitely wasn't love.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know what she's into. All right, so that happens. Delightful.
Mm-hmm.
The army guys are like, oh, okay, yeah, you're crazy, and you're pet zombie, and fuck you. But right before they leave, they shoot Smalls in the leg.
Yeah.
And now he can't get up and walk.
Yeah.
And she's like, nah, you son of a bitch.
I think that was a good move.
Yeah, me too. Fuck that thing. And then she like has this very heart touching moment. Unfortunately, somehow Smalls bites her at this point, but only like on the tip of her finger.
Yeah,
she's like, you know what you just did? Do you know what you did? So she has to run back into the ditch and smash her own finger off.
Yeah,
you can see the infection spreading in her finger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you can get killed by one of these, but not become a zombie. But if you just get, like, the slightest bite, then you become a zombie in a couple minutes, I guess?
Well, it doesn't really say how quick it would happen. It's just you could see it spread, so obviously she wanted to cut it off. But I was like, you're going to take a rock and cut off your finger.
Yeah. No, she just smashes it until there's nothing left of a finger, pretty much.
Yeah.
Look painful as shit. I don't want to do it.
Mm-mm.
I'm not going to do that. Anyway, that's what she does. And then she goes up there and has another heartfelt moment with Smalls. And she's like, don't worry, I'm not going to leave you like this. And she picks up the big rock and smashes his head in.
Finally.
She then finally makes it to the airstrip, where we find out that the drug dealer guy has his airplane mechanic there. And the rest of the thugs that were there to, like, you know, go with them have gotten infected. And he locked them into a closet or something like that. So it's just those two there. They're all coked out, and they're ready. They got the plane fired up, and they're ready to go. And this is where Molly has a dramatic change of heart and decides, instead of going to Mexico or whatever with the drug dealers, she's going to go back to Vegas and try to save her kid. And we get another heartfelt story about her giving him a tin can because they used to play telephone with tin cans.
I think we've all done that, though.
Sure, but not before I abandon your four-year-old ass. Which brings me to the point that Molly is a terrible human being.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't give a shit if she has this last-minute change of heart. She's still a shitty mom.
Mm-hmm.
If she hadn't been blasted on vodka
and Coke
and had to pull over to vomit, then she would have gotten on the plane with the dealers and been on her way and left her kid to die in Vegas.
Yeah.
You're a terrible human being, Molly. Go fuck yourself. All right. She has a last-minute change of heart. The drug dealers take off in the airplane.
You can thank Smalls for that, I'm sure.
Oh, totally. He really showed her how to be strong.
That's right.
And how to be a decent mom. It took a zombie. Get fucked.
Is this Warm Bodies too?
Could be. I don't know. So that's great. The plane leaves and she's like, okay, I'll just take one of these drug dealers' cars and get back to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Before she does, she calls the house. Till we find out that she left her son when he was still an infant with her sister because Molly wanted to just go party, I guess. And her sister always wanted to have kids but couldn't, so she thought she was doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
But her son was distraught when she abandoned him. So she gave him a tin can to talk into, and she swore up and down that she'd be able to hear him every time he talked into the tin can. That kid's going to have issues when he grows up.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to go farther than the zombie apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, dude. Okay, so she calls him from like a air traffic control tower, and she's like, hey, he's been basically hiding under his bed since the apocalypse started,
mm-hmm.
which I'm assuming has got to be at least a couple of weeks at this point. She's like, I'm coming, but you just have to stay there and stay hidden, okay? Okay, mommy. She then has to go find the keys to one of the cars, mm-hmm. but as we mentioned, all the thugs got turned into zombies, and the drug dealer guy locked them all up in this storage area.
Mm-hmm.
So now her, armed with a wrench, has to go into the storage area and either kill all the zombies or find the keys or whatever. She does just that. Goes in there.
Finally, she grows a pair.
Oh, yeah. Very intense. She's walking around with a wrench. Kills a couple zombies. Finds the keys to one of the convertibles. Runs out there. Hops in the car. Hauls ass back to Vegas. Passes what is now Zombie Nick on the side of the road. So it's got to take like a week for... I think she was would get like 3 or 4 days before... she made it to the airstrip, so at least a good 24 hours, which begs the question, if it takes them that long to reanimate, then how did we get to a zombie apocalypse to begin with? Really, you get killed by a zombie, you're down for 24 hours. We can come in, we can kill that zombie that made you and get you in the ground before you come popping up trying to bite somebody. I'm just saying, man.
Yeah.
I don't mean to punch holes in this thing, because overall, I think I did enjoy it. Except other than the fact that I hated Molly. All right, anyway, she makes it back to Vegas, makes it back to the house where her sister lived. Nice place. You can tell there was some kind of a struggle that took place.
Yeah.
She's trying to be quiet. She's like creeping around. Hey, where are you? What are you doing? Hey, what, you up here? Looks under the bed. He's not there. Goes running around, trying to be as quiet as she. Eventually, she finds him like in this play fort. And she's like, oh, my God, what's going on? Come on, we got to go. He comes out, but now she's made too much noise, and zombies are starting to come into the house. And she found her brother-in-law's dead body in the kitchen.
Had blood writing on the...
What are the blood
on the glass. Say? Yeah. Something about, I got bit, save yourself, or I don't know. Something like that. Yeah.
And
he doused himself with gasoline
and lit himself on fire outside in the house. That's a terrible idea. Oh, yeah. No, I'm with you. I get it. You got bit. You got to off yourself before you turn and go after, I guess, your nephew.
But not fire.
Not fire and not that close to the house.
Yeah.
You're
going
to catch a fucking house on fire.
Right.
Then you're going to burn the whole neighborhood down and the nephew with it, probably.
Right. Yeah. What if you turned into a zombie while you were setting yourself on fire?
You just
walked right in the house.
Fucked up a bunch of shit. Yeah. Fucked up everything. All right. Anyway, that's what happened, so she's very sad, and now the zombies are trying to get in. She grabs a shovel, and she heads on down to the front door, just as the zombies break through the front door, and she's like, "Aah!" And then that's the end of your movie.
Yeah.
What did you think of It Stains the Sands Red, buddy?
Nah, not very good.
I'm not mad at it. I had
a couple chuckles.
Okay.
But it was like, oh my gosh, kill this zombie already.
Why? She had many opportunities to do so. Mm-hmm. I mean, like the every night she goes to bed on top of one of those cliffs, he's literally like 4 feet away. She's out of reach. All it takes is one big rock.
Yeah. Well, and then there was a one clip where on that cliff, and he's like roped to something.
Yeah.
So he's just like, you know, trying to get her, but you know, obviously can't go anywhere.
Right.
It's like, I'm sorry, there's no way I could sleep with that.
No.
It's like, what if somehow it entangled itself? It'll get you when you're sleeping.
Ugh.
Just put out that zombie.
There's some serious plot holes here, dude.
Yeah.
It's fine. I'm not mad at it. Molly is a terrible human being.
Oh, yeah.
I like to think that she died at the end because she deserved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but at the same time, you know, you want the kid to survive.
Right. I do like the idea of one zombie in the desert.
Yeah.
Something about it. Maybe it's just that story my dad told me.
Right.
I like that. As far as zombie, the actual apocalyptic element of this, because we spend so much time out in the Nevada desert, which always looks like an apocalypse.
Right.
That's pretty much, you know, that you don't get a lot of zombie action, unfortunately. Other than that, I thought it was fine. The zombie looked good. Smalls, I thought he looked good.
Yeah, whoever that actor was, he did a great job, I thought. I was like, wow, this guy acted like a zombie really well.
He did, yeah. If you feel like it, inmates, it's streaming on Tubi right now. Check it out. I say it's not bad. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I think if I could just get past my hatred of Molly, I would probably like this movie a lot more, but she's a deadbeat mom.
Oh,
so,
yeah. And they play that hard.
And like I said, if she hadn't pulled over to vomit, she would have literally abandoned her son to die mm-hmm. in Vegas and probably not even thought to give him a call or even think about him ever again.
Yeah.
So fuck her.
And then knowing what we know, he was there at the house all by himself.
He would have either starved to death or gotten eventually eaten by zombies.
Mm-hmm.
So fuck you, Molly. Fucker.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take us a break. I'm going to cool my jets here. We'll be right back with some other stuff.
Yes.
We've been the nation.
Hey, inmates. If you like what you hear, head over to the Padded Room Facebook group and support us through the patron link with a small monthly donation. Check out the T-Villain link at paddedroom.podbean.com and grab some t-shirts. Thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of the show.
And we are back, buddy.
Yeah.
Oh, ah. Got a little dry gulch there from all the time I spent in the desert walking away from one lonely zombie.
I know. This makes you thirsty, doesn't
it?
Does. I need to hydrate myself.
Good Lord. Anybody got any cocaine? I'll take it.
Right?
I think it's time for a meat hook, amigo.
I think so, too.
Three on a meat hook.
This week's meat hook, top three female zombies, buddy. I know it's a small and select group, but there are some female zombies out there, some better than others. I'd be willing to bet that everybody's number one is going to be the same person.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I honestly don't think so.
Okay, okay. Let's see. Hit me with number three.
Number three? All right, so Return of the Living Dead. That chick that was on the, I don't know what kind of table that was.
It was a sarcophagus.
Yes.
Trash.
Yes.
Trash. That's my number one.
That's your number one?
That's my number one. Love me some trash. Her name was Trash. She was played by Linnea Quigley.
Yes.
And she was a huge part of my sexual awakening.
Right.
As far as like hot zombies go, that's about as hot as you get. When she comes out of the mud later on in the movie,
oh yeah,
she's like bone white. Got a bit of a butter face now, but
still
banging body.
So, you have that workout video with her too, don't you?
Oh, I do. It's, it's the dumbest thing you've ever seen. It's really just a loose collection of clips from her movies with some choreographed dancing in between.
Yeah.
It's clearly designed for you to beat off. That's all that is.
Yes. Linnea Quigley.
Right, yeah. On. Trash at number three. My number three is Becky Vickers.
Oh.
Do you remember who that is?
No.
I didn't think you would, because I don't think they ever mention her by name in the movie. She was played by Gaylen Ross, and she was in a segment called Something to Tide You Over in the original Creepshow.
Huh.
She was buried up to her neck in the beach.
Oh,
and Leslie,
yeah,
Nielsen came and talked a bunch of shit.
Uh-huh.
You gotta hold your breath there, Harry.
Yep, I remember
just
that.
You gotta hold your breath.
Mm-hmm.
But then she comes back as a zombie and kills, or she buries Leslie Nielsen in the sand,
mm-hmm,
and then he gets the same shit.
Mm-hmm.
So good for him.
Yeah.
That's my number three. How about number two?
Number two, Karen Cooper.
Oh, from Night of the Living Dead.
Night of the Living Dead, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She doesn't get much time as a zombie.
No.
But she's pertinent to the story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's she kind of when Harry, so what I like, part of what I like about her is that Harry Cooper spends almost the entire movie trying to get everybody down to the basement.
Yes.
It's the safest place in the house. They can't, mm-hmm, get us down there. Well, unless they're already down there. Because, like, when the shit hits the fan between him and Ben, his instinct is to go down to the basement, which he does. And, oh, shit, his daughter's already zombie. And she's bitten Mom. And now Mom, Karen Cooper, is now a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
So Harry now has to run out of the basement that he was trying to get everybody into. And that's when he gets shot by Ben. After,
yeah,
a little tussle for the rifle there. So there's a whole kind of a juxtaposition there, like an exchange of power in, mm-hmm, a weird way. Very cool. I'm into that.
Yeah.
My number two has even less time as a zombie.
Oh.
She doesn't even know she's a zombie until like the last 30 seconds of the movie. Hmm. It's a young lady named Samantha from a movie called Contracted.
Oh,
because that,
yeah,
is a slow onset of the zombiness.
Yeah.
And she's
such a great movie.
Fucking bitch the whole time.
Yeah, she is.
And she's just falling apart, and she's like trying to act like everything's normal. As there's fucking maggots coming out of her cooter, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes and has sex with that guy.
Yeah.
Dude. Mm-hmm. I have been hot to trot over a few young ladies in my day.
But not that hot.
When I look down there see creepy crawlies, that's like three red flags.
That's where you draw the line. Huh?
That's when I'm done, dude. I'm done. I will beat off to this later, but I am not putting anything in there that belongs right? to me. I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
I am sorry, my dear. Get that looked at, and then we'll talk.
I forgot about that one. Yeah,
you watch that, and it doesn't play like a zombie movie. It plays like some kind of a nasty infection movie until she gets out of the car at the end, and she's just full on.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, shit, she was a zombie.
Into the leading of part two.
Yeah. Part two wasn't bad either.
Yeah, part two was pretty good.
Not as good as part one, if you ask me, but still pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, how about number one, buddy?
My number one, Drew Barrymore, is Sheila from Santa Clarita Diet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's hard for me to see her as a zombie because she keeps up with the upkeep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It'd be one thing if, like, her fucking arm fell off.
Well, there was times where stuff like that would happen.
Right, but...
Not her arm, but, like, her finger or her eyeballs or, you know, something.
Yeah. But, like, for all intents and aesthetic purposes, she looks like a normal person.
Yeah.
She's talking, you know, she's still trying to sell houses and stuff, so that's good. So, yeah, I get that. That's I've seen a couple episodes.
Yeah.
And one of these days, I will get through it. One of these fucking days, buddy, I will make it.
Timothy Olyphant.
Yes.
He's awesome.
Oh, I love him and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's great. My number one, as I already mentioned, Trash from Return of the Living Dead.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to make a zombie sexy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they tried to do it again in part three with Jessica, or Julie. That movie gets way too much credit, if you ask me. She was hot, and then she got the 2-4-5 trioxin in her face, so she slowly turned into a zombie. And then we get this nonsensical thing about, I got to get up and put broken glass through my nipples because somehow that makes it feel better or something like that. And then, like, we're still supposed to sign off on her being hot still after that?
Yeah.
I'm out, man. I'm out. And then what makes it even dumber is, like, when the Mexican guys catch up to her and they're like, hey, we're going to get that bitch, Issy. They see her and she's like, oh, come here. And he's like, yeah, I'm gonna get some. Dude, she's got fucking glass sticking out of her face.
Yes.
How is that hot? No. No. I would probably have sex with her before the girl with the maggots in her cooter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But still, no. No.
You have to face her the other way.
Dude, imagine what else she's got sticking in her. You know what I mean? Who knows where she's putting all that glass and nails and shit.
Yeah.
Oh, forget it. Forget the whole thing. That's your meat hook for the weekend, mates. It is top three female zombies. A quick probably not a lot come to mind because, let's be honest, the zombie market is predominantly male. But if you do a quick Google search, there's, you know, different zombie number 212 from Land of the Dead.
Yeah.
You know, random zombie chick from the...
Shaun of the Dead.
Random bar zombie from Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
Stripper zombie from Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. Oh, yeah. There's all kinds of fun lady zombies out there. Let us know what you think. Area code 775-387-0275 is the mental health hotline. Or just go to paddedroompodcast.com and hit the mail link. Let us know what your top three female zombies are, buddy.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I think it's time for us to tell you what movies we got to watch.
Mm-hmm. What are you looking at?
Oh, I got a few things in here, buddy.
Yeah?
How about Night of the Creeps from 1986?
Ooh, sounds creepy.
You ever seen that one?
Yeah, it's been a long time, though.
It's one with the little slugs that get into your mouth and turn you into a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Every much as good as I remember it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in a long time. Yeah. Tom Atkins at his absolute finest.
Yes.
Being a hard-boiled detective.
Mm-hmm.
Picks up the phone. Thrill me! Remember that?
Yep.
I would love to answer the phone that way. But people would be like, what the fuck is your problem?
You know what? We'll just start doing it.
Oh, sorry, boss.
sorry, boss.
What can I do for you? What else we got here? The Toxic Avenger from 1984.
Oh, yeah.
That just hit Joe Bob's Last Drive-In.
Nice.
There is a lot more that went into that movie than you could possibly imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a Toxic Avenger super fan, but I do feel like I am now a Toxic Avenger scholar because I can tell you things that you don't have any use for knowing about that movie.
Right.
I've seen it many, many, many times. That was a VHS tape that I had that had enough nudity in it to get me watch it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking
about.
Oh,
I do.
Yes, sir. Why does the tracking get all weird when they go into the locker room there?
Yeah, right.
Oh.
Close your eyes, son.
Don't worry about it. Watch that. Also watch The Tunnel from 2011.
Oh.
This one's pretty good. It's mockumentary style, Australian, about this group of investigative reporters that are there's like a water shortage, and they're trying to pipe water in through a tunnel, an abandoned tunnel system. They go in there because they think there's like this homeless community set up down there.
Mm-hmm.
It's something else. It's something else down there. I won't ruin it for you. This one's on Shudder also. It's not bad as far as mockumentary found footage movies go. I watched that, and lastly, I watched Late Night with the Devil, buddy.
Yeah,
I understand you have some news coming up later in the show about this, so mm-hmm. I'll just leave it at that and to say it's a very good horror film.
Nice,
and it's I think I give it a thumbs up.
Sweet,
yes, and that's all I'm looking at, dude. What do you got?
All right, I saw the series Baby Reindeer on Netflix.
The whole thing?
The whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah, limited series. But I think it was, 10 episodes, 8 episodes, something like that?
What exactly is that about?
I actually thought there was going to be some type of horror twist, like serial stalker kind of thing.
Yeah.
It is a stalker. It's very weird.
Okay.
Once you start watching it, it's really hard to stop, as terrible as it is.
Yeah.
I don't recommend it, but I mean, if you're kind of curious, you will end up stuck watching the whole thing.
Okay.
I mean, the lady who plays the stalker, great job on it, but it's like one of those things that's just gross to watch.
Gross to watch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm intrigued. I like gross.
What Jennifer Did, the movie on that one.
Yeah, it's like a documentary, isn't it?
Yeah, based off the killing of her mom and the shooting of her dad. Like, it was, she plotted to have them killed, murdered. And then, of course, it's that whole trial of it.
Okay.
Pretty good. It was done pretty well.
Like a true crime thing?
Yeah, true crime thing.
Nice.
And last but not least, all 3 seasons of Santa Clarita Diet.
Look at you!
Yes, rapid fire. I finally finished it. I've seen the first 2 seasons, and then I didn't watch the 3rd season. It had been so long, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to watch it from beginning to end. So I finally just got it all done.
Okay.
And yeah, what a great show.
I
think it stopped right around COVID.
Yeah, and it kind of ended on a cliffhanger too, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. You could tell they were trying to go in another direction, yeah. But at the same time, with the timing of this happened with COVID, you could tell they changed their mind just to wrap it up.
Okay, yeah. I get that.
But it was still really good.
Right on.
Yeah,
I'm into it. One of these days, man,
mm-hmm.
I will make
I recommend
that happen.
It. It's so good.
I will make it happen. All right, that's what we're looking at. How about some immersion therapy, buddy?
Yeah.
Immersion therapy.
You get a chance to check out The Nanny from 2022.
If not, don't.
yeah. It's, I mean, it's a pretty tired story. It's the nanny moves in. She's unstable to begin with, and rightfully so. She's been traumatized. And then she kind of makes assumptions about her status in the family. And then, you know, the kids' affections kind of bolster that. And, well, I don't want to give it away in case, but it's something we've seen many, many times.
Yeah.
It's not very original. The ending is kind of a drag. And, I'm just going to say skip it. Is what I
yeah,
would say.
I'm going to say skip it too.
There's
a couple cool scenes in it, the nightmare sequences.
Yeah.
Just because you don't know, like, where the hell this come from.
Yeah.
It is kind of dark in that sense.
Sure.
But the rest of the movie is just a drama.
It's a lot of family BS.
Yeah.
And that's kind of boring, actually. Was this in the horror section? It didn't feel like it should have been.
Yeah. Well, because of the nightmare sequences, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of thriller or whatever.
All right. I'm going to tell you to skip that one, inmates. Buddy, what do you got for us this week?
All right. This week, let's check out 2023's Late Night with the Devil.
Ooh.
That's right. This is a live television broadcast in 1977 that goes horribly wrong, unleashing evil into the nation's living rooms. You'll find this gem on Shudder.
Check that shit out, inmates. You're going to love it. I'm going to tell you right now. We will do the same and compare notes next week. But now it is time to educate me.
Yeah.
Educating Miss Monica.
First, my clues from last week. Well, I am an anthropology professor, and I have recently found that a documentary crew has gone missing in the Amazon rainforest, or the Green Inferno, as it's also known. Some of their footage was recovered, which led me to believe that I can either find them or the rest of their footage to find out what else happened to them. So off I go to find out what happened. I don't find them. What I find is a bunch of bones. But I do get some of their footage and can kind of piece back together what ultimately happened. And they were a bunch of fucktards. Went down there, started a bunch of shit with the locals, and one of them got his pee-pee whacked off. Another one got gang raped to death. I think one guy got set on fire, if I remember right. And it basically nothing. It was all preventable if they had just shown a little respect to the native tribes.
Mm-hmm.
But fuck those guys anyway, so that's it. I am, of course, Cannibal Holocaust.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, great movie.
It actually is a good movie. I just could have done without the animal stuff.
Right.
Because that's pretty harsh, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like the monkey getting its face chopped off.
Oh, yeah.
The sea turtle, the muskrat, the baby pig. They killed a lot of animals.
Like, yeah, they did.
In cruel fashion, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty hard to watch sometimes. I think there's a cut out there somewhere with those scenes taken out.
Right.
Because it's not like they're pertinent to the story. That's just kind of fucking...
Yeah, whatever. It just shows them how brutal they can be.
Yeah. But we don't think we need to see that. All right. Anyway, who might I be this week, you ask? Well, buddy, I am a young lady whose mother was at one point a scream queen. Unfortunately, she passed away in a car accident. And now the only way I get to see my mom is through watching her old movies. I'll be damned if I didn't go to a film festival one night and the theater caught on fire. And when I jumped through the screen, I found myself in one of her movies, like as a character. Good thing I'm a horror nerd and I know where the killer's going to be and how to, you know, get around him and all that shit. But still, blow my fucking mind, why don't you? Who might I be, you ask? Tune in next week and I'll drop some knowledge on you, inmates. In the meantime, I think that's about it for us, buddy.
Yeah.
Oh, you're deep in thought.
I know this one.
Trying to figure me out, aren't you? join us next week for Shockwaves here, killing off Zombie Month in the Padded Room. Like, comment, subscribe wherever you found this show. That helps our visibility quite a bit. We do have a Patreon campaign running. If anybody cares, just go to paddedroompodcast.com. Find out all the links, everything you need to know about us, our subsidiary shows, anything at all, really. I think there's some dick pics up there also. they're not my dick, though. I'll put somebody else's dick and say it's my dick, you know, because I'm not. Hey,
keep mine out of this.
I'm not. I'm gonna tell you right now. I'm looking to disappoint you if I put mine up there. In the meantime, for Jason in Absentia, deadbeat moms and the zombies they attract. Zombies like them, love them. Female zombies who can be, I think, still sexy for a short time after reanimation. And the Padded Room Podcast, I'm afraid visiting hours are over.
Bye and have a great week.